Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, a beautiful, warm day today. Well, the stock market down 4.5%. It's a bit of a drop, but this is all coronavirus. Coronavirus disrupting the entire supply chain. Scary part is it might delay the iPhone a little, the new iPhone coming out in September. Hey, also, you know, one of the problems, the U.S. could face shortages of about 150 prescription drugs. These are made in China. And this includes antibiotics, generics, some branded drugs without alternatives. So this is there's a few problems coming up. That's why the stock market taking a little hit right now. Tomorrow night is the next debate, the South Carolina primary. This is the first really big one. The South Carolina primary is this Saturday night. They do it on a Saturday, which makes sense. It's easier for people to go vote on a Saturday. So it's this Saturday night. This one could end Joe Biden's campaign. Joe Biden's campaign ended a month ago. Just nobody had the nerve to tell him. But he keeps hanging on there because the old timers believe that it's still 1996 and that there's a firewall in South Carolina and the black vote is going to be favorable to Joe Biden. And wait till he gets to South Carolina, the firewall, the black vote, Biden will finally win a primary. And they even got Biden believing this. So that's what he's hanging on for. I think he'll do better in South Carolina than he does in the other primaries. But it'll look like Nevada, where Bernie won, you know, and Biden was second place. Now, Biden will say, wow, look at that, I was in second place. Yeah, but Bernie had 46%. You had 14%. That's an extremely distant second place. So it just looks bad. If something like that happens in South Carolina Saturday night, he's out. He's got to go. That's it. Tomorrow night is a debate. It's the South Carolina debate. If you're Michael Bloomberg, this is a chance to fix things. But you can't really fix things. He's a stammering, stuttering guy with no personality, zero charisma. He is a choker. He can't talk. I kept telling you that. You saw an incredible demonstration of it last week. And now there's another debate tomorrow night. Now, you might be saying, well, they can fix it. They can train him. He went through all that for the first debate. It didn't work. Maybe they'll prep him differently. Maybe they'll use different types of training, different techniques. Maybe this, maybe that. You know what? If you ever go to a driving range, you see somebody for the very first time at a driving range hitting golf balls, and they're going to take their first lesson, and they hit the first ball, and they miss by a foot. They hit the second ball, it goes sideways. They take the third swing and hit their foot. You know, if you don't look at that and say, well, you know what, a week from now they'll be pretty good. You look at that and say, no talent whatsoever. If you worked on it for 5 years, maybe you get a little better. This is Bloomberg. It's a guy with absolutely no talent at all as a candidate, as a debater, as a speaker. He's a total disaster. I don't know what the hell they could do in 1 week to fix that. Now, he'll come out swinging and fighting. This could be an even bigger disaster. The problem is, he hires everybody on earth, and he overpays everybody. He's famous for that. He overpays you. So he'll hire all the big consultants, and if it's usually $250,000, give you $500,000. But the problem with that system is when you're getting paid a fortune by this guy, you don't want to lose the job. You know, there's that old saying, you're only as honest as you can afford to be. You know, some people say, you know what, so what, I can get another job. But the problem is he overpays everybody. So you can never get a job at that salary. So this is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So you can't be too honest with the guy. That's the problem. Nobody's too honest with him. If they were honest with him, and he did a lot of debate prep for the last one. If they watched the debate rehearsals, if they were honest, they would have said to him, you're not ready. You can't be in the debate. Last week, they would have had to pull him out of the debate. They would have issued a statement saying, he's got the flu. He can't do the debate. It was a big mistake. Even the New York Times, it was quite a quote in the New York Times about it was just bad in every way. He was ill-advised to even be there. New York Times also pointing out it was a great lesson for everybody. You might admire his yachts and his planes and his 12 mansions, but it was a great lesson in All the things money can't buy. You can't buy a personality. You can't buy a warmth. You can't buy a sense of humor. And he just looked like a disaster up there. I think you'll see. I think the preparation is they're going to tell him, you can't just sit there and be a punching bag. You have to go on the offensive. You have to throw the first punch. So they'll have him be the aggressor. This is going to be the biggest disaster you've ever seen. Because when a guy who doesn't know what he's doing tries to do even more of it, it doesn't work. Elizabeth Warren, all of these people, maybe cloudy, fuzzy Joe Biden you could take on. But Warren and Sanders will just beat this guy to a pulp. It's going to be a slaughter tomorrow night of Bloomberg. And he's not on the ballot in South Carolina. There's another thing. He's not on any ballots. He's not even in the race yet till Super Tuesday. So it's going to be just a disaster. Biden, again, this is his do-or-die week. If he doesn't make it in South Carolina, he's out. So tomorrow night's debate is crucial for Biden. He's totally in a fog. He's got Alzheimer's. He's got dementia, early stages. Doesn't know where he is half the time. This past weekend, he started telling this story. You know, he tells these crazy, stupid stories from 1912 when he stood up to Corn Pop in the swimming. You know, he tells you about this Corn Pop who was supposed to be this terrifying gang member. You know, it's a 12-year-old in Delaware. How terrifying could Corn Pop have been? Then he tells you about the hair on his... He said all these old stories. So this weekend, he starts telling this story about the time he went to visit Nelson Mandela, and he was arrested in South Africa. And everybody is... Even the audience is looking at him. Even his supporters are looking at him like he's nuts. What? You know, first of all, he was a senator at the time. If he got arrested in South Africa, I think we would have heard about this. Nobody can even find any record of him ever being there or visiting Nelson Mandela. So just this, he's just hallucinating now. Nobody, it's like Bloomberg. Nobody has the nerve to tell him. And where's his family? His wife, who's half a doctor, shouldn't she be putting her arm around him and say, listen, time to go home. It's just not working out. So President Trump in India today. It's actually, I can't figure this out. It's like midnight already in India or something. It's like 10 at night, but he had this incredible, incredible rally today with the Prime Minister of India, Modi. 110,000 people showed up to cheer Donald Trump.
We are in the early stages of discussion for an incredible trade agreement to reduce barriers of investment between the United States and India.
There you go. What does that mean? The call centers will be here now?
Both of our countries have been hurt by the pain and turmoil of terrorism and that terrism brings. Under my
administration... Nah, I don't like when he's on the teleprompter. Too formal. But they love him in India. We're loved all over the world, except by the swamp leaders. They all, you know, in every country, the swamp hates us. The elite hate us. The open borders crowd hates him. But the people love him. It was a big success. Boy, look at the... Go online and look at the pictures. The First Lady and President Trump visiting the Taj Mahal. There's a picture of them standing there, looking at the Taj Mahal. Now, for most people, you just get a lump in your throat looking at it. For most people, as you stand there looking way over at the Taj Mahal, it's such an incredible sight. But if you're Donald, think about it. If you're Donald Trump, you look at it and go, it's like a little Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago looks nicer than this. Hey, also, I just realized this. He's one of the few people, I think he's the only guy on earth who's ever owned his own Taj Mahal. Remember, there was a Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City where he copied the Taj Mahal. So, you know, unlike any other tourist, he's looking at the Taj Mahal thinking, hey, my Taj Mahal was better than this Taj Mahal. And Mar-a-Lago's like this, but 10 times the size. So, still a very successful trip. He comes back, I think, tomorrow. I hope he's back in time for the debate. Love when he goes after Bernie and all those people.
I think it was a great win for Bernie Sanders. We'll see how it all turns out. They've got a lot of winning to do.
All right, so he's obviously stopped on the way to the helicopter. You know, if you really want to sound important, you want to make yourself really sound important, just play helicopter noise in the background when you talk. You sound like you're the most important guy in the world. There's helicopter noise in the background.
I've seen a very strong on with respect to Roger Stone. You have a juror that's obviously tainted. She was an activist against Trump, said bad things about Trump and said bad things about Stone. And she somehow wheedled her way onto the jury. And if that's not a tainted jury, then there is no such thing as a tainted jury.
Yeah, Roger Stone, now they've moved to have this judge is the most biased, Trump-hating, and therefore Roger Stone-hating, prejudiced judge in the world. They've moved to have her dismissed from the case. Guess who ruled against it? Her. She gets the rule on her whether she leaves or not, and she's ruled she's not going anywhere. The Roger Stone case, it has to have a new trial. This one is a tainted jury for a woman. The whole thing is a mess. This case should never have happened. He's accused of absolutely nothing, tampering with a witness. This was his buddy, Randy Credico. They've known each other 100 years. They're always calling each other names. So when they continue to do it, they suddenly declared it witness tampering. The other thing is they said, well, he lied to Congress. So did Comey. That's all been documented. So did McCabe. They haven't been charged with anything. Nobody gets charged for that. This is obviously a political revenge here. So, listen, Roger Stone is he's a crazy character, but he's actually a nice guy in real life. The whole thing should be dropped. If it's not, at some point, he'll get pardoned, and that'll be the end of it. So tomorrow night's the big debate. It's a little earlier. Last one was at 9 o'clock. This one's at 8 o'clock. I think it's 8 to 10. The last one got huge ratings. 20 million people tuned in to see Bloomberg. Now, because Bloomberg was such a disaster, even if you didn't see it, you've been reading about how he was a total disaster, the worst debate performance ever in the history of the world. That will increase viewership tomorrow night. So figure 25 million people, it's like more than the Oscars, will be watching this Bloomberg debate to see him screw up again. There's nothing more entertaining than watching a guy with $60 billion wet his pants on TV and start sweating and twitching. And guess who? CBS is the debate host. Guess who one of the moderators is tomorrow night? Gail King, the most vicious woman on earth. Now, she might be a Democrat. She might be a Bloomberg supporter. The only thing is she's been around Manhattan so long, she's probably a friend of Bloomberg's. But the good news is she's totally evil. She's Megyn Kelly evil. So she's the kind of person, just like Megyn Kelly, all she cares about is one thing. How can I bring the most attention to myself? How can I make sure I'm the lead news story tomorrow, just like Megyn Kelly? So that she'll say that'll be by asking the worst question, by getting into the ugliest confrontation with Bloomberg. So she'll do that just to get the attention. So he better be careful of her. They're trying to prepare him. You know, there's so many bad things in Bloomberg's past, from ugly comments he's made, from terrible, horrible, vulgar jokes that he's made, to big disasters he had as mayor. All of these things. So there's like, I could list 100 of them right now. So as far as trying to prep him for what he's going to get hit with, it's kind of tough because there's so many things he's going to get hit with. So they'll probably tell him, when you get hit with it, do like one sentence and pivot to something else. You know, Trump did that when he got hit by Megyn Kelly. You can see the video. We have it up on the webpage from the weekend. When he got hit with it, what are these comments you made on women? He said, we don't have time to be PC. Listen, this country's in trouble. We're not winning at the border. And then he went into a whole border speech. So that's usually the strategy. Do one sentence on answering and then twist it into something, get it to a bigger issue and just talk about that. So, but Trump is good at that. Bloomberg's not. So Bloomberg will get beaten up again tomorrow. You know, one thing about Bloomberg, he's not, there's kind of a misnomer about him. He's not a financial guy. He's not an economy guy. People think of his company as some sort of financial company. It's a tech company. They make software and hardware. Bloomberg is a tech company, like Dell Computers, like Apple. It's just a tech company, and that's why he made $60 billion. You can make that kind of money with a tech company. So he makes great hardware, although some people say the hardware is not that great, and great software. That's what he does. He's not a financial expert. He's not an expert on the economy. He has no knowledge of that. In fact, with all his money, with all his billions, he doesn't even manage it himself. He had to bring in somebody, an expert, to do it. He uses Steve Rattner. That's what Steve Rattner does for a living now. He manages all of Bloomberg's money, his $60 billion. He handles the investing. And he could get hit with this at some point. This Rattner is a very questionable guy. He's that little guy with the little horn-rimmed glasses you see on Morning Joe. He's got a very controversial past. He's been banned from trading securities. He's been declared unethical by his former employer. He's been charged by the SEC. He's been through all kinds of hell, banned from trading. So, I mean, this is going to come up at some point. He's going to have to explain why he's got this guy handling his money. And some of the things Bloomberg has proposed, financial experts are saying some of the things he's talking about, like this financial transaction tax, people have been pointing out this makes absolutely zero sense. You're putting fees on things that'll just drive up the costs. And I mean, without getting too technical, it would wreck quantitative trading firms. It would just, what the real problem, bottom line, with all the stuff it would do, it would take a lot of the liquidity out of the market, which means all the available cash. So if you remove the liquidity, you don't have the shock absorber you need to handle the market going up and down. Like today, we have a big drop in the market because of coronavirus, but there's a lot of liquidity. So the big drop, money will come back. You've seen this over the last 2 years. Whenever there's a big drop, you think, oh my God, the whole market's going to crash. And then it comes right back up. That's liquidity. So these Bloomberg proposals would get rid of all that liquidity. So the market would have no buffers, no shock absorbers. So much of what he's proposing, total disaster. We'll take some calls in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. We'll talk to the best political analyst of all, Ed Rollins, in a few minutes. Nobody better at telling somebody how to get through their second debate if they screwed up the first. We'll ask him about that coming up. Check out the webpage. Now watch this. Here's a body language expert who goes over the video of Bloomberg's disastrous debate performance and shows you all these telltale signs, shows you what he was really going through. It's really pretty interesting. Also, you remember Bloomberg, the elitist Bloomberg, insulting the farmers, saying any idiot can do that? Watch this farmer. He made an incredible video response where he shows what a farmer has to do in an average day. It's a really powerful response to Bloomberg. We got that on the webpage. Also, you want to be the funniest person in the room? Here's a video that will give you some tips. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
The Mark Simone Show. Mr. New York. 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Jack in Bayshore. Hey, Jack. Jack, are you there? No, you see, it's always line one that doesn't work. I don't know. Watch, this one will work. Line two. Judy in Brooklyn. Hey, Judy.
Good morning, Mark. First of all, where's Vincent? I think he should be your co-host. He's great with you.
I hope he's okay. Last time we talked to him, he had fighting off a cold or a virus or something.
He's so good, and you're so good together. I'm serious. You should have him on as a co-host or something.
I don't think he can show his face in public. He's in witness protection or something, but go ahead.
Really? He's very smart, though. Not smarter than you, Mark, let me tell you, and congratulations, because you're number one on the
number
podcast.
One. Yeah, actually, Vincent could do that. Yeah. What's that station called? The Answer. He could be on there in witness protection. hide from the public.
Okay, Mark.
Here. Yes.
So, Mark. I have a question. If I was the moderator, if I were the moderator tomorrow at the debate, yeah. I have one question for what's his name, Blue Nerd, and one for Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
So as far as Bloomberg goes, I would say, tell me something. Why did you say after 9/11 to widows, suck it up and move on? You know, that's what he said.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's a lot of stuff you could hit Bloomberg with. Listen, if you take all the worst comments of Donald Trump, he sounds like Cardinal Dolan compared to Bloomberg. You remember when Bloomberg started running? I'll restore dignity to the presidency. I'll bring back a dignified tone. Look at his Twitter from the last week. He's calling Trump every name in the world. He gives you all these. And I don't know who writes his Twitter, but some tough-talking guy does his Twitter for him. You know, Trump is a carnival barker, and he's disgusting. Look at his Twitter the last couple of days. I stand up to bullies. I'll take on this bully like no one else. Then you see him in the debate. He starts crying when Elizabeth Warren yells at him. Let's go to Rob in Babylon. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going there, Mark?
Good.
I want to congratulate you on, you have like the best gig in radio.
What do you mean?
What are you doing, like 2 hours a day? You roll out of bed, you get some Starbucks, and then you're at work. That's pretty good.
But it takes 15 hours of preparation. No one will testify to that, right?
At least 15 hours, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I was looking up about the the superdelegates, and I guess this is why the rest of the field is staying in. And the last question at the last debate was very telling, that they were asking who do you think should the person with the most votes be the nominee?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And of course everybody on the stage except for Bernie Sanders said no, we're going to let the democratic process play out. This superdelegates thing is the most convoluted thing I've ever I've ever read.
No, actually, it's a pretty good thing. It's a typical Democratic DNC thing. It's a way of stealing delegates from somebody. They did that with Bernie in 2016. Remember, he won the primary. He got all the delegates, but then the superdelegates were allowed to switch. And the superdelegates have more influence than the delegates. This is a real DNC maneuver. Remember, they stole like three states from Bernie that way. Hey, also, another thing. You got to look at the Nevada caucus from Saturday night. And Bernie won by a landslide. He wiped out Biden. Bernie had like 42%. Biden had like 13%. Landslide for Bernie in the popular vote. I don't know if you checked the numbers, but it was like 2,000 people that voted for Bernie. That's it. Like, there are more people at a Trump rally in line for the bathroom than voted for Bernie. Enormous, enormous, enormous numbers at a Trump rally, and little tiny. Bernie gets like 1,000 people to rally. That's like an all-time record for a Democrat. Trump gets 100,000 people showing up. Let's go to Sean in New Jersey. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good.
First of all, your show is awesome. I get you every day.
Thanks.
Well, 2 points. First is, I don't know if you saw Trump this morning in India. It was amazing. I mean, 110,000 people is just incredible.
Well, yeah, I saw him looking at the Taj Mahal. You see that shot of him looking at the Taj Mahal?
Yeah, yep.
And he's thinking to himself,
beautiful.
The pool house at Mar-a-Lago is better than this. He owned the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. He had his own Taj Mahal.
It didn't work out, though.
No, actually, it did. Hey, that's another thing. You always go, Trump, four bankruptcies. Trump has had less bankruptcies than almost every company in the world. Every company has bankruptcies. Trump's had 578 different companies. Each project is a different company. And four bankruptcies. That's like a bankruptcy rate of 0.02%. For instance, Romney's had 15 bankruptcies. Now, you could argue that it's riskier for Romney because he's in venture capital. But the only time Trump ever had a bankruptcy was Atlantic City. And what they failed to point out, the whole sector went out. Everybody went bankrupt. Sands went bankrupt in Atlantic City. Caesar's Palace went bankrupt. MGM had to pull out. Everybody got wiped out in Atlantic City. It wasn't a Trump thing. Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Yes, good morning, Mark. Speaking of President Trump, as you said, he had three or four bankruptcies. And I remember very clearly you were at Trump Tower with him. And there were people that were trying to call him and request a meeting. And didn't he have a list in his drawer that he would open up?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Listen, that's a good point. Everybody who's a huge, huge success about one third of the way into their career had a total collapse and were wiped out. Everybody. Steve Jobs. This is hard to imagine now. At one point, they fired him from Apple. They fired him, threw him out. And he came back and turned the whole thing around. Everybody, even in the show business, every big star at one point got way up. Frank Sinatra wiped out, made the big comeback. Everybody in business. And those are the people that really, really, really become the biggest. You know, look at Lee Iacocca, made his name as the chairman of Ford, biggest thing in the world, fired, thrown out. Then he made the comeback. So it's always that way. But there was that period of a year or two where Trump was like $1 billion in debt. And when he made the comeback, in his office, I saw it with my own eyes on his desk. You remember they used to have people put glass on the desk, a big glass top? Well, under the glass was a list of names. Whenever the phone rang, he'd look at that list. That was who turned their back on him when he was in trouble. And if you were on the list, he didn't take your call. So now when we come back, the number one best political analyst in the world, Ed Rollins, will be with us next. We'll see what he thinks about Bloomberg in tomorrow night's debate. We'll get to that coming up.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, here's the smartest, most experienced political analyst of all. He's run presidential campaigns. He's done it all. Ed Rollins. He also runs the GreatAmericaPack.org. Besides the presidential race, you got to take back the House. And if you want to get involved in the fight to take back the House, keep the Senate, the best way to do it, GreatAmericaPack.org, GreatAmericaPack.org. Ed Rollins, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Mark?
Very good.
Exciting. If you're a Democrat, it's an exciting environment. For we Republicans, we have our candidate, and day by day, I think he gets stronger.
All right, you have trained a lot of presidents and candidates for debates. You saw Michael Bloomberg's total disaster. Is there any way you could fix that in 1 week?
Not likely. you know, the one thing that I don't underestimate is the value of having hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars to spend. You can do a lot, and it really may just come down to him and Bernie Sanders. But I think at the end of the day, that's about the worst scenario Democrats can have. A guy who's a socialist is attracting young activist Democrats towards his nomination versus someone who's not part of the establishment, someone who's been a Republican, Democrat, independent, who's trying to buy his way in. And I think to a certain extent, if that's the two people at the end up fighting it out, it'll really tear the party apart and it's tear all the limbs off. So my sense today is a long ways to go. I assume what happened to Bloomberg is he's got smart people around him. Kevin Sheehy, those guys are smart guys. I think at the end of the day, sometimes candidates don't listen. And Michael Bloomberg's been known historically to always think he's the smartest guy in the room, always the richest guy in the room, but not always the smartest. And my sense is they certainly gave him the responses he should have had or what he should have been dealing with. And he'd have been much better off to skip these two debates because he's not in Nevada and obviously not in South Carolina and wait till after Super Tuesday to see who's left standing. But now he's already put a marker down and not a very favorable one for the first debate. And my second debate is not going to be much better for the simple reason you can't turn yourself around in 3 or 4 days.
Hey, so, if you were the campaign manager and you saw the debate prep last week, wouldn't you have said to him, you can't go on in the debate. We'll just say you have the flu. And
that's what I would have argued. I'd argue, you know, why rush into this? You know, you've got a bunch of candidates that are fighting hard and they're going to jump. You're the new flavor of the month. And they resent the fact that you're buying your way into this thing. So they're going to come after you. There's a lot of stuff to come after you. You're not prepared for it. And if you are prepared for it, you're still not going to come out of it perfectly. So my sense is I think it's his own arrogance that he thought I could get on. Once I get on the stage, people can listen to me. And obviously they didn't. I mean, it's the worst debate I've seen in my 50 years around the game.
So what do you think?
The only worst beating was the heavyweight fight the other night.
Now, hey, you're a boxer. If that were a fight, wouldn't the referee have stopped that at some point?
I thought that over and over again. Even before I saw the fight the other night, I said, "This is someone needs to throw the towel in, stop this thing before he bleeds to death on the stage." And I think the reality is, historically, presidents and incumbents don't do well in debates because nobody sort of talks to them on the same level. Most of them have a kind of a bad first or second debate. In this particular case, this field has been debating for, this is the ninth or tenth debate. They're prepped, they're ready to go, and they'll be ready to go tomorrow night to do. So I think that at the end of the day, he's got another rough night ahead of him, no matter what happens.
Hey, obviously, for tomorrow night, they've told him, don't just sit there and be a punching bag. You go after them first. You throw the first punch. Isn't that the worst thing he could try to do? He's not a good talker.
Absolutely. The best thing for him would be the Biden strategy, sort of disappear on the stage. You know? Have two or three answers that sound reasonable, and you know, don't become the punching bag again. And if you do, you know, the reality is he has two bad debates. You know, you'd never get back off of that. So.
What about the visual of it? He doesn't know where to put his hands. He's, you know, shaking, twitching. You can't fix that in 1 week, right? You can't train.
You can't fix that. I mean, again, he's not battle tested. It's been a long time since he's had any kind of a contest. And here in New York, he sort of bought his way to three terms. And I think the reality here is he's you know, you've got to get out there, get with the people. These people, and their verbal skills are good, and his particular verbal skills aren't good. I mean, he and Joe Biden might do good in a debate one-on-one, but certainly the rest of the field. And you got Bernie Sanders now, who's only enhanced by last Saturday. Nevada primary or caucus, so he's the front runner now, and he's going to go full board. He's not, you know, Bloomberg is everything he's opposite of, so I would expect him to lead the charge against Bloomberg.
Hey,
so.
I'm trying to remember. In do we have a verdict here? Ed Rollins, hang on one second.
Sure.
We have some breaking news.
We do. We do have some breaking news. So the verdicts are coming back now on Harvey Weinstein. He was facing five counts. He has been found not guilty of the two most serious counts. Those were predatory sexual assault. But he has been found guilty of first-degree sexual act, and he's been found guilty of third-degree rape. So not guilty of the two most serious charges, which could have brought life, but guilty of first-degree sexual act, which can bring 25 years, and this is a 67-year-old man.
So he is guilty. There will be jail time.
He is guilty of the two lesser charges, which are still serious charges in their own right.
Yeah, but as Lionel pointed out earlier, there's a lot to appeal here, so it probably goes.
But the bad news is there are two coasts of this country, and there is another trial awaiting him on the West Coast.
That's true. All right, thanks for the breaking news. Ed Rollins, sorry about that. Are you still there?
Still here.
Oh, okay. So.
Not shocked by the verdict, and I think to a certain extent, Harvey still does have a long ways to go. I think there's his behavior patterns over many, many years is caught up with him, and certainly going from the East Coast to the West Coast is not going to be any easier for him. There's a lot of charges out there that still. I don't ever expect him to not spend the rest of his life in a courtroom or in a jail cell.
Hey, let me ask you something. I'm trying to remember 1972. How did George McGovern, he was like the Bernie Sanders, he was the far-left radical. How did he end up with the nomination when you had much better moderate candidates on the Democratic side?
Well, what happened is everybody sort of destructed themselves in the course of the process, and he was kind of the last man standing. He had run the McGovern Commission, which is anytime Democrats try and redo the way they pick people, one person usually comes out on top, and McGovern knew the rules. And obviously, you had a lot of things happen in 72 that was the favorites got sort of knocked out early on. So my sense is that's how he ended up. Nixon slaughtered him, obviously, 49-1, 60% of the vote. I'm not predicting the same thing going to happen here. I would predict if it's Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump. There's going to be a lot of congressional candidates and incumbent congressmen running for the wilderness. So
if they, obviously the DNC has to try to steal this from Bernie, which they will try to do, but if it ends up being Bernie.
If they do, then there's going to be great resentment. I mean, the problem that they, people always say to me, when are the wise men going to step in? And, they said this about Trump and they say this now about Bernie. There are no wise men. There's a lot of activists out there in the country. It's not like I've got all the money and I can step in here and they got to do what I want them to, like in the old days of Rockefeller and otherwise. So Bernie Sanders are young people. They're activists. They're going to be furious. They're going to be the delegates. They're going to be furious. The party tries to step in. And this party has been so inept. You had two caucuses. The second one didn't get it done right either. And I think the reality is the whole process, the fact that you now, in a week, you're going to have 16 states. You're going to have all these delegates picked. There's no possible way you can basically run a real campaign. It's like a national presidential campaign in a week. You can't put it together. And it's so you end up with a sort of a splintered cast, and someone that has the momentum, which Bernie Sanders obviously has the momentum, gets a slew of delegates.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, besides the presidential race, you got Congress. You want to take back the House. You want to hopefully gain seats in the Senate. Ed Rollins runs the Great America PAC. .org. Now, you guys go all over the country and help all the right candidates. What can people do to help out?
They can certainly contribute. If they have a favorite candidate, want us to check out for them and see if we can help them, be happy to do that. If you go to our page, which you've been very generous in announcing, we'll do everything we can. Getting the House back is critical, and my sense is there's a lot of House members who won in marginal districts that Trump carried. I've got to be awful nervous about Bernie Sanders leading their ticket.
Yeah,
so hard to see. A rattling of the teeth right now by some of the D.C. types. But that doesn't affect the young people out there that want change and see Bernie as their warrior.
Yeah, so if you want to help around the country, all the different races, that's the way we would recommend. Go to greatamericapac.org and volunteer or donate or help there. greatamericapac.org. And Ed Rollins, keep up the good work. We'll see you on Lou Dobbs tonight. And thanks for being with us.
See you soon.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. So Bloomberg, last week, the single worst debate performance ever in the history of the world. But watch this video. Here's a body language expert who goes over the video and shows you what was going through his head, how he was screwing up, why he was screwing up. It's pretty interesting. Actually, she goes over all the candidates. Interesting stuff. Then, Bloomberg, the elitist, the arrogant billionaire, put down farmers saying any idiot could do that. But watch this farmer's response. This is a powerful video where he shows you what a farmer does in an average day. It's pretty interesting. And then you want to be the funniest person in the room? Well, here's a video that will give you some good tips. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.